Live local talk. It's Tesh Matters on the voice of the Tesh. Cain Radio, New Iberia's only daily live call-in talk show.
30 minutes after 12 noon, our Miller Joy Coffee time. My pleasure to welcome in Mayor Freddie DeCourt after about a four-week absence here. We missed you after the last meeting and hope you're doing better.
Yes, doing good, you know, over COVID and moving on to the next adventure, but good to be here.
Yeah, I know because you are a hands-on guy, I know it had you had to be chomping at the bit to get back at it.
Oh, yeah, that was too long a downtime for me. And I got some work done. I had a few days that were rough, and then kind of the first few days were pretty good, and then the last few. So got some work done, but, yeah, that's probably the hardest part.
There you go. Here a little bit later today because you had an opportunity to help celebrate an event at the port.
Yes, went out to the port, was called by the port director, and this was the kickoff of $23 million that they were given from the state with a lot of hard work from so many people. You know, Roy Pontiffet started looking to deepen all the channels and everything a long time ago. Craig picked that up, and then Bo Boyer, Fred Mills, Brett Bishop, Blake Miguez, you know, just a ton of people have worked on securing that money, and so it was neat. They asked me to go, and I was excited. You know, the city owns over 100 acres out there and was instrumental in starting the port a million years ago, and Craig reminded me that they leased that property from us for $1 a year and would like to continue to lease that from us for $1 a year. I got a kick out of that, but just really neat. So I was excited to go, and I was like, you know, being in construction, it's always fun to go and look at projects. So, yeah, I had to move my time. Thank you for allowing me to do that.
Because, no, happy to do so.
You know, that is going to do so much good for our economy. We know how much the oil field is struggling, fabrication, those type of businesses, anything we can do, you know, especially to the deep water and deepening, that, you know, that could be a game changer for us. So with that so close to the city, and like I said, the city owning property out there, certainly we are in, you know, full support. And it's kind of why I went, just to show my support.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. Council met on Tuesday, rather lengthy meeting, a couple of big discussion items there, and I'm going to save the MPO issue because Parish President Larry Richard may check in with the COVID numbers today sometime, and
great.
I'll give you guys an opportunity to talk a little bit about that together. CERT had representatives, Zach Mitchell and Natalie Broussard, and obviously a lot of what they do is reliant upon the city for whether it's an evacuation center or other tools.
Yeah, we Sear Gates becomes an evacuation center, the fire department, the police department. You know, we are called on to do a lot because we have so many people in our community. And you can see that COVID, the three hurricanes last year, and COVID at the same time has really kind of put a strain. And as they were saying, many of their volunteers are older. Many of them couldn't come out due to social distancing or, you know, some other extenuating circumstance for their health. So it's kind of becoming, we need more volunteers. So the purpose of this visit was to say, can you try to find, you know, everybody from their districts, everybody from the city, can we try to find people who would like to be certified so that they could work and help at the shelters? They're not abandoning us by any means, but just realize that what a strain it was with those last storms. If we really had had to open a shelter, we didn't have nearly the volunteers. And the bulk of that was just due to COVID, but you don't know what's coming. So it was a good little visit and kind of a wake-up call that we need to re-energize, you know, because anything could happen. You could have a train rail car derailment. You could have a tornado, a hurricane, you know, who knows what. But and we've had a share of calamities, you know, the last couple of years. So it was good, and it was kind of a wake-up call that we need to try to find as many people as we can are willing to help each other out when we have those type of disasters.
No doubt, no doubt. And I know they've got an event coming up, I think, to train on April 10th,
yes,
if I remember
yes,
right.
Yes.
So, and I'm sure I'm going to be talking about that a little bit more as it approaches. Spent a little time on, well, you didn't spend, surprisingly, that much time on the cameras that I thought might be spent.
Yes.
But there was one member of the public who had some reservation, and I thought it was interesting, the timing of it. But before we get into that, I think we've got the parish president on the line. Hi, you're in the air.
Hello, Jeff. How you doing, sir?
Good, good. Appreciate you checking in. want to, you know, glad you could call in along with the mayor here, because you guys share some commonality with the MPO and some of the things that were talked about at the city council meeting that I know you have a big interest to as well.
Absolutely. Yes, not only the city of New Iberia, but the MPO, the APC, of course, is a part of all Iberia Parish, which includes the city of New Iberia, the city of Generette, the village of Lauraville, and the town of Delco. And yes, all of the mayors are very, very involved in what's going on with that. How you doing, Freddie?
I'm fine, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, a little bit good afternoon, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I'm normally on at 11, so yeah, we're probably heading to the afternoon.
So how's it going? So anyway, let's talk about COVID numbers right now if we can. We are doing very well, Jeff, with COVID numbers. Of course, we're a little bit higher today than we were yesterday. We had a plus 14 positive cases. Our death number is the exact same. And I want to pass on to you again that vaccines will be distributed on Monday, which is March the 8th, from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock at Sugar Arena. And that's actually being coordinated by Iberia Medical Center in partnership with the Louisiana Office of Public Health, and by appointment. So make sure you contact the Iberia Medical Center to try to get you some vaccines done, whoever wants them, on Monday. Other locations that we have in Iberia Parish, of course, is Alone, Iberia Comprehensive, Iberia Medical Center on Main Street, Iberia Parish Health Unit, L&M Pharmacy, Super One, Walgreens on West St. Peter's, Walmart on Parkview, and also Walmart on Atmore Doyle. So we still have those locations. We had our phone call this morning, the Monday and Thursday COVID call that we've been having for almost a year now. And as of today, we decided to have the call once a week. So we will not have a call on Monday. We're going to start having the calls on Thursdays because the numbers are starting to come down. And it was a consensus of, you know, with Dr. Savansky on the call. We have Dr. Savansky. We have the our congressional delegations on that call as well, with Senator Cassidy, Kennedy, and also Congressman Higgins' representative. We have UL. We have Senator Boutre. We have a whole host of people that's on that call. So we made a determination this morning to do it once a week. So our next call, Jeff, is going to be Thursday at 11 o'clock. And the reason we picked Thursday instead of Monday is because we want to make sure that we're talking about percent positivity. And our percent positivity in the region right now is very good. Everyone is under 5% percent positivity. The number of people that we have right now in hospitals in the region is under 50. I think we have 8 people on vents right now in the whole region. So we're doing very, very well. Of course, we want to continue to do what we're doing, make sure that we continue to wear the face covering, continue to wear your mask, make sure you're social distance, and make sure you're washing your hands with soap and water, and if not, then you use a hand sanitizer. So nothing changed from that. The big deal right now is vaccination. We have a lot of vaccinations taking place in the state of Louisiana. In particular, in our region, we're doing very well on vaccinations. I had mine done on yesterday.
I saw a picture. I saw a picture on Facebook.
Yeah, I did it. I actually, I don't know if someone else posted. I posted last night somewhere around 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I had an opportunity to stop and get on Facebook, so I posted on my Facebook last night, and but it was interesting. I tell you, you know, of course, I think I even mentioned I'm not big on shots, and I have never ever taken this. I have never taken the flu shot, but this is something that I feel that I need to do. I think this is personal for me. This is something I did because I feel I want to be close to my family, and I want to be around them, and I see a lot of people. And I don't want to be bringing stuff, even though I'm practicing what I consider to be good social distancing and thinking that I'm picking and choosing the right things to do. By default, by habit, sometimes I catch myself getting ready to walk into something or to a building, and it's like, oh my gosh, I was getting ready to go there, but I can't go there because I know they won't be doing this or whatever the case is. So I just simply turn around and leave and don't go in. But we need to get back. We need to get back as close as possible to normal, as quick as possible. And with the number of vaccines that we're getting, and with the percent positivity going down like it's going down right now, is working out to the benefit of not only Iberia Parish, this whole region, and in particular in this whole state, you know, because now we're in phase three and a lot of things are getting a little bit looser, which is good, in my opinion, as long as the people continue to do what they need to do to be safe. Hopefully we can continue in that direction. So with that said, listen, I can talk about this stuff for a while. I've been doing it for a minute, and I don't want to talk too long about it, or if you have some questions about it, Jeff.
Not about COVID. I think you did cover it well, but and I'm not sure if either of you were at last night's meeting at the Slimen, but are you aware of what was discussed?
We both were.
I assume, but yeah.
Yeah, it was good. We, you know, they just really were looking for feedback for projects, for areas that traffic might be a problem, sidewalks might be a problem, areas that maybe they hadn't covered. They were looking for feedback on projects. It was a good time that, you know, both Larry and I could look at a map and kind of see. We all know the major projects that are being funded. We didn't. It wasn't like a review of that because we kind of already both know most of them. I mean, everybody's had input and been on top of that, and it's always a pleasure to work with Larry and the other mayors and, you know, everybody. I mean, we have a great group, but there weren't – the attendance was light. There wasn't a lot of people, but, you know, I heard about a program that maybe could help with my road bond that's coming at the end of the year. We are getting a new map that has updated all the roads that are eligible for federal funding, so now I can possibly – I will pick my worst roads, but I can possibly string some roads that aren't that bad along and then save 25%. So it was interesting, well worth attending.
Yeah, what it is, Jeff, what was so good about it is that we have about, I don't know, we're doing our master plan right now for the Acadiana Planning Commission, the long-range master plan in Iberia Parish. And we have somewhere around, I think it might be around 17 projects or so that we that we identified in the parish. And currently, Scott Saunier, Mike Tarantino is actually putting this thing together. We're going to present it to the parish council a bit later. What was so good last night, I think, Freddie, we had probably three locations that people had picked that they wanted to see things done in Iberia Parish. And the good part about that is exactly what they picked is already on the plan. So it's great. It's great. You know, one of the deals I think, Jeff, that they picked was Lade Road needed to be hard surface instead of gravel like it is right now. Lade Road is it goes into the St. Martinville Park. You go off Captain Cade Road and goes into the St. Martin Parish, and that's something that we've been having right now on capital outlay for I can't tell you how many years. Capital outlay, I expect, I don't expect to be frank with you that they're going to have enough money to do the road anytime soon, but we're looking at doing something else with Lade Road. I spoke to one of the council members, in fact, this morning, and, I guess it was last year, I've spoken to Paul. Paul is the person I'm talking of. It must have been last year, year before last, we talked about trying to include that area in the TIF, TIF district, just for that one particular area. It's so wide, it's used so much, and there's so much opportunity out there for Iberia Parish. If we can spend, if we can get that road overlaid, it's going to cost us $400,000 to $600,000 just to get our portion overlaid to where St. Martin Parish is right now. But I think if we could do that, it's going to open up for businesses to continue in that park area because it's already developed, and it's going to give opportunity for Iberia Parish to draw some revenue from there. So that's something that you should see coming on our being discussed by the parish council sooner than later. Last night was no more than an opportunity for the general population to go and take a look at what's out there. It's called a long-range plan update, and it's just for the general public to come out or write in projects that they would like to see within the parish, and it's for all of Iberia Parish. And Freddie was dead on it as far, you know, some people may want sidewalks. Some people may have an area that they feel is congested. They would like to see a turning lane there or whatever the case is. And that's what it was about.
All right. Anything to add to that, Freddie?
No. I think Larry covered it well.
All right. Larry, anything else you want to add before we let you go?
No, I think that's it. Freddie, good luck. I think you're doing your report right now with Jeff. I'm going to sit by and try to listen for a minute. I might learn something.
All right.
Thank you, Larry.
All right, guys. Thank
Take
you.
Care.
All right. Bye.
Appreciate that. Jumping back into last night's Tuesday night's city council meeting. The issue about the cameras and
yes.
put citizens at ease about their personal, what's the word I'm looking for? But the idea that their business ain't going to be put on the street.
Correct. Look, this is crime cameras. So if you think about it, it's a street view camera. You know, not to be flippant, no one's going to buy information on how many blue Chevy Impalas we have riding around New Iberia, or how many people who are walking or on bicycles, or who's driving by, or how many people are in a car. It's not your financial data. It's not anything that they could, you know, I feel that is going to be bought or sold. I mean, that's not what this is for. The company Crime Fighters has cameras all over Acadiana, and they're all tied into the state system with the state police. So the data that is being generated is way bigger than just us. And the state police has so much more data and so much, you know, that I don't think that the guy has the clearances. He has everything. This company is operational. None of us see the data. We see what we request. If there is an incident on, whatever street, we request, hey, at this time we had a shooting or we had a hit and run or we had a robbery. Crime Fighters goes in, finds that, and that's what you get. The amount of crimes they have helped solve in the rest of Acadiana is ridiculous. It's awesome. You know, when we go to a scene, the first thing from every patrolman to every detective, first thing everybody does is look at the scene, look around, and immediately start looking at houses. Ring doorbell cameras, security systems, businesses with cameras. So cameras are everywhere. You go to Walmart, there's a camera. You look at something on your phone. You look at a pair of boots on your phone, and then all of a sudden you get 20 ads for pairs of boots or whatever you look at, okay? So I don't think this is really any different. And what this is going to do, you know, we had a town hall meeting on Monday where the shootings were certainly part of the, you know, the issues we talked about. You know, we need to get what a tool to get our community, more help. We spend, $7.5 million a year for police department. We have 75 officers. We spread them out per shift, and they're all over town. These cameras never sleep. They never go on a shift break. They never go, you know, this is 24/7. This is going to do wonders. You want to know where they go, and they're going in the high crime areas. We mapped the crime and then decided where the cameras needed to be placed by the incidence of crime. So, and this is a free service. This company, we have a 30-day out because that was a lot of part of the discussion. You know, what if all of a sudden they charge us a ton of money? Well, if they charge us a ton of money and I have half a ton, guess what? I just hit the out button, and in 30 days, we're out of the contract. It's a service. The owner of the corporation says that this is going to go on. This is going to end up in a trust. He is not trying to sell, you know, a whole package of a region of cameras. If he changes his mind, like I said, we have an out button. On the flip side, let's just say that this worked for 2 or 3 years, and then for whatever reason, the cost went up, or he retired, or he just said, I don't want to do it anymore. Imagine the lives and the family and the hurt and the damage and the shootings. Imagine all the things that, you know, those couple of years would give us. Closure for families when, unfortunately, a crime happens, and more importantly, some crime prevention. So what do we, you know, what do we gain? Well, we gain a lot. Well, what do we gain if we don't take this opportunity? Nothing. And because they're free, how demanding can I be? Because we kind of had a discussion, and I said, look, you know, if I wrote the specs and said you are going to do this and provide this service, I'm in the driver's seat. Because I'm paying you, I demand what I'm paying for. On the flip side, when a service comes and says I'm free, yeah, you know what you say? Thank you. So we worked the best we could and thought of all the issues we needed to think of and have entered into an agreement, and I think the council saw the wisdom of it. We had some discussion. We had another item that had a lot more discussion. But I love discussion. I mean, I'll stay there all night. That's game day. You know, when you sit in that council meeting and people are going back and forth, and you'll see with this council, as with the last council, a lot of free flow of ideas and a lot of back and forth. Not a lot of debate, just a lot of good discussion. And so it's fun to chair a meeting like that. But that's kind of the overview of the cameras.
Gotcha. So the vote was to go ahead and install,
yes.
I believe, unanimous.
Yes, unanimous. Yeah. And Clico is now dropping in the polls. They have donated, I think, 22 polls. And so those polls will now become property of the City of New Iberia. They have thankfully, you know, and done that for us. And then we'll start seeing about camera installation next. So they're coming. I mean, it's in the works.
All right. The other discussion item you referenced, lawn sales and
garage
things like
sales.
That.
Yes.
There's this one location near City Park that seemed
yes.
to be
there was one,
sort of in the business of selling junk.
Yeah, we've had a few. We've had there was one on one by City Park, one not far from downtown. There's about three or four that people have had endless garage sales. And the neighbors complain, and the stuff's in the yard, and then some people will be turned in for junk. And then you go, and they say, no, it's a garage sale. And people started picking up on that. Because you had some that were endless garage sales, other people, when we went to clean the junk, would say, well, no, I'm a garage sale. So that's kind of what the whole catalyst started to do something that don't want to say you can't have them. People should be able to have garage sales. I love estate sales. I don't want to kill that. So we put forth through the ordinance committee an ordinance, and we did an introduction, and we ended up with about 45 minutes of discussion. Good discussion. So it'll come back, and I'm sure it will morph. We'll get feedback. Everybody will get feedback from the community, feedback from who they represent, and we'll go from there. Do I think the major goal for me is to stop the ones that are just, you know, never closed. And it's you have to think from our position is you're not trying to stop anybody. You're trying to protect the people around someone from inflicting whatever it is on them. I don't want to be heavy handed. I'm not going to overstep the bounds of government. But, you know, when you're protecting people from, you know, endless chaos and endless look out the window and see a bunch of mess and people coming every day. And, you know, that's not go get a business, get a business license and open a business if that's what you want to do, because that's what you're doing. And you're inflicting that on your neighbors. That's the things that, you know, I get excited about government being involved in. It's not one house. It's the 10 around it, you could say. So we'll have a lot more discussion. I have a feeling that it will morph. We had a bunch of ideas. So, but that's government at work. So it was a good discussion. It was lengthy. I went to a meeting this morning about something, and somebody said, really? 45 minutes on a garage sale? And I said, hey, you know, even to the minutiae, that's the point of government. The point of government is to work things out, protect who you need to protect. And sometimes we will go too far. We will have to back up. And I think that's what you see, the cake being made, you know, that public discussion is really the best thing we do.
There you go. I know there was discussion about it going back to the ordinance committee. When do they meet next?
We have a meeting next week, so I'm sure we'll have some discussion about it. And, you know, just because we introduce something, we don't have to bring it to the following meeting. There's not a rush.
Right.
So that'll be one that the ordinance committee
and
will.
It can be whatever was introduced can be amended the night of final adoption.
Correct. So, or you could have another big discussion and not adopt it.
Yeah, true.
Anything can happen. But, it'll go back to the ordinance committee, and we'll work on it some more, and people are emailing ideas and, you know, objections to portions of it or additions to others. So, that's, like I said, good government at work.
Very good. Running out of time, but any other issues from the meeting of note that I may have missed?
No, I kind of think that's it. It was a rather lengthy meeting with a lot of discussion, but those were our items.
I know there was a couple other housekeeping issues.
I'm getting a new chiller at the at City Hall because it's been on the fritz, and we've had tons of issues. But that's pretty much it.
Any project updates, things worth noting?
The marina behind Rodriguez Park is going. The contractor has started on the next phase of Rodriguez Park, as well as the museum. So you're starting to see a lot of activity. I just have an email to answer when I leave here about blocking the Surrette Alley. But you'll see more and more activity there. All of the helical piles are in at the marina. Now they're driving the piles for the bulkhead. So that's coming along nicely. We had hit a ton of rubble, and the engineers helped redesign. Coastal Timbers, a local contractor, is the contractor. Craig Girard's been very, very, very cooperative. And so that seems to be going well. We took bids on roofing the 911 building because it's leaking desperately. My bids were a little too high. We're trying to negotiate now to get them where I need them to be. But that's a project that's going to end up besides the police area that they already occupy. They'll have more of it, and then we'll have a meeting center and a training center there. And so I need the roof first. We're beginning to work on plans for the roof of the two gyms. Those are underway. So, you know, we still have a lot going on. We're still applying for grants. We still are waiting on Corps for one, and I think we got approval now. The kayak dock is going to finally bid. You know, some of these things are taking longer. You know, I'm in government, and I'm constantly fussing about the bureaucracy of government, but, you know, when you start fooling with other agencies, state and federal agencies, it takes longer than you'd like. But a lot of things are happening. I think the rest of this year is basically going to be a whole lot of construction.
All right. I don't know if you can comment on them, but I heard a little bit about a couple of empty buildings that are have some very interesting things planned for.
You know, I am hearing that, too. I am hearing a – it's I can't – I'm not going to say a name or anything, but I'm hearing of a company that is similar to a Costco maybe is interested. I can tell you some local buildings of people who are interested in putting apartments in them, which could be an interesting turn. I'm all for having more families downtown or anywhere down, but, you know, this unique mix we have downtown of businesses and bars and radio stations and construction companies and accounting firms and investment firms, all of that mix makes us healthy.
Nothing livens up a downtown like residents.
It's true. It's
constant
true.
People walking about.
It's true.
Attracting others.
And they are, for the first time, we've had some people, two different groups, who are at least fleshing it out. They're not there yet. But they're, you know, have specific buildings targeted, and they're working budgets, and they're, you know, looking at it. They're assessing it. That's a step.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that, excited about a couple of other developers that are becoming, and a couple of other couple of empty stores that some interesting things are being talked about might go there. So that's encouraging. I met with a little developer this morning, and we kind of kicked around a couple ideas. So he's been in the hotel business. So you never know. I mean, you got to flesh everyone out. But I think as COVID eases up and as we are returning to normal, which is great, you know, our bars now go to phase three. You know, everything's a help. So I feel that with the vaccine getting pumped out as much as it is, or people, you know, having COVID and getting over it, I think we're going to have an exciting summer. I really do. I think we're going to make up for some lost time.
Good. Look forward to it. We'll look forward to talking to you after the next meeting.
Great. Thank you.
Once again, New Iberia Mayor Freddie DeCourt joining us today. Again, normally 11 o'clock on the Thursdays following City Council meetings.